Okay, today's daf is daf mem beis, and we're 6 lines down from the top of the two dots. The Mishnah had just said, "V'chein sha'ar kol hanashim," women, even from other circumstances, forget about the yibum question, where if they're pregnant, it could end up meaning that they're sleeping with an issur karet. But all women who were in a position of losing a husband or having been divorced, they should not go ahead to marry, neither be'erusin or be'nisuin, unless they have 3 months between. As the Gemara, Bishlama Yivama, I understand that Yivama, obviously, Kiri Amran. I mean, we have to make absolutely certain that she's not pregnant, because that way, if she is, and if Vlad is a Bar Kayoma, she won't need the Yibum, and therefore she's been sleeping with this guy who says she has an Eshet Achiv Shalabamoga Mitzvah. But what in the world is the point of Shar Kol Hanashim? Am I? Why would other women need to wait? I mean, whatever the point is, the Zera is kosher anyway, whether it's the first husband's or the second husband. There's no Isser involved, so why can't she just get married? Omer of Nachman, Omer of Shmuel, the reason is, Mishum Yom HaKra, Lihiyot Lecha Le'elohim Lezaracha Acharecha. The Torah is saying over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his relationship to us is predicated on the clarity of your having zera that's miyuchas. We find this throughout. This is true about in the Midbar, where we had the every shevet had to be mityachis, they had to bring sefer yuchsin shalem, and so on. And that's why where you had the ben ish mitzri, that he wasn't shayach to the machane at all. And we find this is true also in other terms, just like it says in Yecheskel, v'roti michem abmordim v'poshim bi, which means b'nei irvuvia, children that are mixed up. So even though l'maisa, the vlad is kosher in terms of mamzerut, but not knowing who a father is a tremendous pegam in terms of zaracha acharecha, which means that the shechina is shor only on those that can be miuchasim after their father. They know who their father is, and therefore the rabbanon were metaken la'avchin ben zara shel harishon. We need to know the difference between a child, since if in 3 months the pregnancy doesn't show, so then already we can assume that she isn't pregnant, and if a child is born 7 months later, that we understand that that's a 7 month gestation from the second one. Masiv Rav. Rav asks from the bright, it says, "Lefichach ger v'giyoret tzrichin lahamtin shlosha chodeshim." So now, a ger and a giyoret. Now this was, as goyim they were married. Now they came to be megayer together. They need to wait 3 months. What's the point? I mean, over here, I mean, obviously over here it's the same man that's been with her the whole time. No, here it's a different point. There is. We want to know the difference between a planting, so to speak, b'kedusha, after the gear, l'zera shalom nizra b'kedusha, to a child that comes from zera of a non-Jew, even though the maisa afterwards, of course, are Jewish. But that itself is an inyan of yichus, to know where exactly the actual sperm comes from. Rava Amar. Rava says the reason that women have to be from not from a situation which is nagea yisra heter, but women in general have to wait, because it's a gzera shema yisa tachotom yaviv. Simply because if she assumes that the child is from her second husband, and this is the way the child is raised all the time, then he may end up marrying his sister, thinking that they're not related. Suppose the original man, who was her husband, had a daughter from somebody else, and he doesn't know the guy's his father, and this daughter is not related to him through his mother, so she's not related at all. So if that's the case, we have to be afraid that now the brother, through a father with this girl, are going to end up getting married to each other as sister and brother. And furthermore, there's another issue. The other issue is that maybe there will be a second son to the second husband now, and suppose he gets married, dies without having any children, and this guy is going to go ahead and be miyabe, thinking that this is his brother from his father. But it really isn't. It's his brother from his mother, because the first guy was his father. But a brother from a mother, of course, is an erva. Wife of a brother from a common mother is an erva. So she would be eshet achiv shelo b'makom mitzvah, and he would be orvel yisr karet. So there's a lot of chances here for some serious problems. And furthermore, we have another problem. We have to worry that maybe after he's born, the second husband will die. Her second husband dies. If her second husband dies, so they will think that this son was his son and that there's a she's Ptura from Yiva. In which case, V'yotzi etay molashuk, they'll allow her to go get married without Yiva. And that's also an issue. She's going to be over and alive all the time. Furthermore, we have to worry that maybe the brother from the common father will die without children. V'yiftor et yivim tolashuk. And therefore, he's going to think that this is not a brother. So he's going to think there is no other brother. But in fact, there was another brother. And therefore, under all these circumstances, because of the chashash of coming to Arayas, either Yisr Koris or Yisr Lav, we created a situation. We need to know who the child was. Masir Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya asks Rav, with Rav's approach over here. It says, Bechulan, all of the women that the Chachamim said and that were osur to get married, to be misyabe, but they do need chalitza. So bechulan, ani korei behem mishum takanat erva. It's all a matter of making sure that they don't come into a state, into a matzav of harayot. The kan, here in this case, where they need to wait, it's not because erva. Kan mishum takanat vlad. Over here, it's in order to know who the child's father is. But if you're right, then this takana is also mishum erva, right? Kula mishum takanat erva, because you're saying the only reason we made this takana nothing to do with the yichus of the child. It had to do with the chashash that if they make a mistake in the yichus, we're going to end up doing an erva. So then, why does it say that this one is different than the others? It's exactly the same according to you. Answers the Gemara. It's true that all of them have a chashash erva, but they're the chashash erva that they themselves will come to an erva. Whereas this particular case where we're asking a woman to wait, it's because of the takanat vlad, in the sense that the lo lifka b'hu erva. But it's always going to be in terms of the child. There's not going to be any direct chashash on the woman herself. And that's the difference between these two cases. Yes, Ligumar, why do we need 3 full months? So, b'shleim etamtin shnei chodashim etinas. And they say, why she has to wait for 2 months and get married? Right? I mean, that obviously she can't just wait 2 months. That's the shayla. Whether he's a ben teisha, l'rishon, or ben shiva l'achron, our suffix is he bar tisha l'kami bar shiva l'batzra. Ella, but still, what she could do is wait 1 month. Tamtin chodesh. If she's been tamtin chodesh, echad v'tinasei. So then it depends when she'll have a child. Let's say she has a child 7 months later. So then obviously that child is a 7-month gestation. It's a bar shiva labasra. It's the second husband, ben shiva. But if she'll give birth 8 months later, so then ilatmanya yelda, then obviously har bar tisha lekama. This has got to be a child for the first husband. And because a vlad that is born after 8 months cannot live in the Gemara times, and therefore either it's 9-month gestation or 7-month gestation. So it's easy to tell if she waits only 1 month what child this is. Answers the Gemara, inami l'tamana yolda. Let's say she'll give birth 8 months later. It still doesn't prove anything because ikalameimar debasrao. It could still be a child of the second husband, because Dilmish Tuishtaya Khodashad Viyamba. So maybe it's really a Shiva, Ben Shiva, not a Ben Shmona. And she didn't get pregnant right away. She got pregnant a month later. So therefore, this proves nothing. Asked the Gemara, but still, why not wait 2.5 months from the death of her husband and then go ahead and get married? But because, look, if the child is born 7 months later, is she a Yolda? Then this has got to be the second guy's son, who's a Bar Shiva. So then he's a Bar Shiva Labatrahu. He can't be a Ben Tisha Vamechta, can he? We assume now that a child is not born after 9.5 months, that the gestation period is 9 months. Furthermore, our assumption is, we'll see, is that he's not Neulat Chai at 6.5 months, right? So therefore, it can't be a 6.5-monther, and it can't be a 9-monther to the first. Okay, so therefore, if we should be able to know exactly that if she's Bartish, if Lashita Upalga Yalda, so now if it's 6.5 months later, so then it's got to be that she was pregnant earlier, and this now is a Bartisha Lakamav. Because the if you're going to tell me that this child is a Barbatrahu, then Bar Shita Upalga, if she was only pregnant 6.5 months, Lochai, he would not have been able to live. And says the Gemara, it's still not a proof, because maybe Inami Lashita Upalga Yolda, even if she gives birth at 6.5, Yikalamemer the Batrahu, it could be the second one's baby. Even according to Mandi Omar, who says that a full-term gestation, again, there's two types of full-term gestation, so that's a little misleading. There's a 7-month full-term and a 9-month full-term. But a Yoledes Letitia who's going to have a 9-month gestation, even if you hold that she's not Yoledet Lemekuta'im, that she needs 9 whole months in order for the child to survive, but nonetheless, a Yoledes Leshiva is Yoledes Lemekuta'im. So that therefore, it is possible for there to be a less than a 7-month. So therefore, the Gemara says, if she gives birth at 6.5, it does not prove that she's got to be from the first one. The place that we see this is Shenamar. It says when Shmuel was born, it says, Vayilit Kufot HaYamim. Right now, the Kufa is 3 months. That's the season, is 4 seasons. So the Tkufa, the Miyut of Tkufot, is a minimum of 2 seasons. Okay, that's 6 months. And then you have the Mircho Yanim Mishnayim, the minimum number of days implied in the word days. So in other words, Shmuel was born after 6 months and 2 days, which proves that Yoledes Leshiva is Yoledes Lemekuta'im. And therefore, you cannot prove whose child it is if you wait the 2.5 months, because it may be a Ben Sheni. That's the Gemara about Timtin Mashu. Well, let her just wait like 2 weeks or something. Then let her get married, okay? V'chi malo shlosha chadashim, 3 months later, well, 3 months, in other words, from the time of the death, live the girl, check her over and give her a pregnancy test. So then, if you can check her, so then clearly she was pregnant from before, if it's possible to be makir the fact that she's pregnant, because certainly she wouldn't have been noticeably pregnant from the second guy at that point. So why do we have to wait for 3 months? Answers the Gemara Reb Safra. First of all, ein bodkin et hanisuot. Shorit gano baliyem. In order to be bodik or properly, we would have to do medical examination in those days. Anyway, medical examination of her breasts, the vaginal area. I mean, we don't. The husband doesn't want somebody playing around with his wife. And therefore, we don't want her to have to go through that kind of test. That says the Gemara, if the Kabbi Hilucha, why can we not check her? They had a check for pregnancy in those days that was based on the way that she carried her body, and that could be detected in the way that her footsteps left marks, her feet left steps in a very thin kind of dust, something like what we use for making orthotics, right? So that leaves an impression of her foot, and it's possible to tell through that impression that she is pregnant. And because it's you can see how deeply the feet penetrate and what angle into the area where she presses, and why can't we simply be somech on that? Omer Ami Bar Chama, you cannot be somech on that kind of bedika, because isha, a woman who wants to show that her son belongs to someone, she's mechapa atzma. She makes absolutely certain that nobody can tell that she is pregnant from the first guy. Kadesh Yiraj Benam Nechsem Bala. She wants her child to get a share of her second husband's fortune. And therefore, she's going to do her best for them not to detect that she's pregnant, so we can't be samech on this test. Ask the Gemara if the reason that we're waiting is because of a suffix that maybe she's pregnant. So how about if we know that she's pregnant? So if she's definitely pregnant, there should be no problem at all, right? Alama Tanya, why then does it say, Lo yisa adam yuberet chavero, umei neket chavero, v'im nasa yotzi v'lo yachzir olamit, that a person cannot get married to someone who is pregnant from another husband, because we're afraid that he's going to go ahead and not care about the child that she's carrying, and he may end up getting her pregnant now, and thereby damaging the existing child, despite the fact that this is very, very rare, because it says, Einisha mitaberet v'chozeret mitaberet, as is well known. Tosfos indeed asks that kasha on Rashi earlier. So, Tosfos explains there on Yud Beis that the Gemara is not claiming that she would not be mu'uberet at all, but that she would not be mu'uberet with a viable child, but she could certainly easily become mu'uberet. Okay, in any event, we don't want him to marry within those 3 months. But as the Gemara, but Yachidi Dei, Inami. I mean, how about if it's his own child? We should say that he's not allowed to sleep with his wife. Answers the Gemara, Ilaman Diyamar. We saw before that a Mu'uberet uses birth control, so that she's Mishamesh is B'moch, and therefore she makes certain that she doesn't get pregnant, so then it's B'moch. Ilaman Diyamar Min HaShemayim Yirachmu, if we go according to the Shita that said that we have a right, or a chiyav, according to some, to rely on rachmei shemayim and not use birth control. So then, fine. So then, minad min shemayim rachma. Whatever your approach is there. Is your approach over here? Hochanami. So why can't he say, if he's marrying his friend's wife, ex-wife, who's pregnant, why can't he also say, right? Ilaman yomba b'moch b'moch. Ilaman yomba min shemayim rachma min shemayim rachma. If that's the point, so then what's the nafkamina whose child it is? She can do exactly the same to avoid pregnancy from him as she would with her husband, or rather husband, in normal case. Or she can rely on Rachmei Shemayim the way she would normally rely on Rachmei Shemayim. Ela, therefore, we have to change our mind and say the reason that a person should not marry Mu'uberet Chaveiro is Mishum Dechasa. We're afraid over here that he may actually press on her during coitus, and in doing so, he may destroy the embryo. So then he could do that to his own child too, so we should say intercourse is prohibited. No, he is worried about his own fetus. So over there, he's going to be very certain not to press on her. So there's no tchasa. But I say, what are you going to say? Ask the Gemara, why don't we say that, a person generally doesn't want to kill someone? Right? So, achanami, aren't we going to say chayasiguya and there's not any problem of tchasa that he's going to be pressing? Ela stam uberes lemenika kaima. The real reason that he shouldn't marry Mu'uberet Chaveiro is because a Mu'uberet, normally, if she's going to deliver a viable child, is going to be nursing. Oh, but if she's nursing, so in this case, Dilma, maybe if she gets married to the second guy, and she's going to end up nursing, and he's not going to care so much. So Iabra, she's going to go ahead and get pregnant, and then the Ma'akeh Chalba, it's going to ruin her milk, and then the child won't have nourishment, Bekotloi, and that means that he's going to die. Says the Gemara, so then you could say again that same question about his own child. Yochi didei nami. Why don't we say on his own that he'll also be careful not to get her pregnant because maybe she'll lose her milk? So why did they ask her only move? And says the Gemara, didei memas b'salei b'veitzim v'chalav. If it's his own child, his own fetus, so he will get some way of getting nourishment into that child, whether he's got to use eggs and milk and so on, whatever it'll cost. So you could say, but wouldn't he do that for her too? Dida, couldn't he do the same thing? Nami mamas b'salei b'veitzim v'chalav. And says the Gemara, lo yoyev like, oh, Baal, he's not going. The second one's not going to pay for that kind of thing. It's not his son. So v'leit v'ine, why doesn't she go now and sue la yorshim? She should go ahead and sue the yorshim of her first husband that she should be able to get all of these costs from the estate of the first husband if it turns out that she was pregnant from him. Omer Abayi shabushal av olabei din. A woman is so embarrassed of being exposed as somebody's got to sue for money that she will end up destroying her child. Oreget et bena. In other words, she won't have the money to be able to feed him. She'll get pregnant and lose her milk, and in the end, she won't end up losing her child as well. The next thing that we find in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says, Achat betulot v'achat bulot, achat nesuot, achat arusot. They all have to have this waiting period, and according to the Tanna Kamma, according to Rabbi Yossi, it depends on their status. But the bottom line is that the words betulah and bulah is exactly the same thing as an arusa and a nesua, right? So who are you calling? What's the difference? So I knew betulot, I knew arusot. So a betulah means an arusa, where the marriage wasn't consummated. And I knew bulot, I knew nesuot. Om Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is not trying to say that these are four separate cases. Ochikama, achat betulot v'achat bu'ulot, who are nit'ar melo nitgarshu bein mina erusin bein mina nesuin. So in other words, we're talking about the same case, whether they are betulot or bu'ulot, that became now either widowed or divorced from the state that left them betulot from erusin, or mina nesuin, which left them bu'ulot. Rabbi Elazar lo ala be midrash. One day Rabbi Elazar hadn't come to the Beit HaMidrash, and Ashkechil Rabasi, he finds, he meets Rabasi, Omar Le, and he asks, my Omar, I want to be midrash. What did you say? Come out with today in the Beit HaMidrash? Omar Le, Rabasi told him, Ochi Omar, Rabbi Yochan, and Aloch Rabbi Yossi. That we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the Nisuot have a right to go ahead and at least be Makabo Kedushin, so that the Arusot can go ahead and accept actual mechupa, and those that the Nesuot can accept Erisin, and the ones who had only become now widowed from Erisin can actually go to the chupa with the new husband, because there's no need for Havchana in either case. If she came from Erisin, she's not pregnant from the first husband. And if she came from a nesuin and she's not going to get married now to consummate the marriage with the second husband, so she's not going to get pregnant. So either way, there's no problem. So indeed, Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Michlal says the Gemara, you're telling me we had to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and we could paskin against the Tanna Kamma. In other words, the Yechidah Poligalei. You're telling me now that the Mishnah and the Tanna Kamma is only a dat yachid? I mean, otherwise, why would he paskin like a dat Yachid Kineged Dat Rabim? Both of them may be Yachidim. But do we know who this is? So the Gemara, indeed we do know. It is a Dat Yachid. We are Tanya, and I'll prove it to you. It says in the Braita, Reshaitaru Dufa Alelech Lebeit Avia. This woman was constantly living by her father's home. So even by the time that her husband had gotten sick, and ultimately he died, she had been in her family home for a long time. So that we can assume that she's not Mubarak now from her husband for quite a while. and this is in a different city. She's not, she doesn't live together with her husband and so on. Oh, sure, hayala kas bebeit bala. Or we know that their marriage was on the rocks and that they were separated, basically. Oh, shaya bala chavush bebeit ha'asurim. Maybe her husband was in jail and she had no access to him. Oh, shaya bala zaken, or chola, or her husband was too old or ill to impregnate her. Oh, shaita yichola. Maybe she was too ill, really, to be able to engage in intercourse with her husband. Or, even if she had been pregnant, v'hipila, so we know she hipila, she went ahead and she lost her baby, she certainly is not going to have another one after his death. So, la'achar mitat ba'ala, o shaita akara, it could be maybe she had a hysterectomy, we know for sure that she can't possibly be pregnant. Or perhaps she was a zekina, or perhaps she was a ketana, she was too old to get pregnant, too young to get pregnant. Or maybe she was an ironist, or in a ruya leled, maybe she had gone through some kind of procedure with medication that prevented her from having a child. In all of these cases, despite it all, tzrichala amtin shlosha chodeshim. She has to wait for 3 months because there is no need for the actual case to be demanding of havchana. There's a general halacha that in all cases of remarriage, and similar events like Yibum, you need to wait 3 months. Devei Rebbe Meir, it's Rebbe Meir Shita, who holds that we don't need the case to be one that requires Avchana, and that still has the halacha of acting as if you require Avchana, of waiting 3 months. Whereas Rebbe Yehuda Matir, all of these cases, he's Matir, them Liores, V'inasim Yad, they can go ahead and they can accept Kedusha, they can go to the Chuppah. And so, apparently, the one who's arguing with Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Meir. Therefore, Paskin is Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Yossi, because he's only arguing with a dat yachid. He's not arguing with a dat rabim. And the gross girsa actually is that Rabbi Yossi matir leira nesilinasemiyad, which makes a lot more sense. So, Omar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, chazar bo Rabbi Yochanan. In the end, Rabbi Yochanan had charata, and he does not hold. Lomai said that the das of the Tanakam is das Yochin. It's a das Rabbi. And he had charata that he ever passed in like Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, if what you're saying is true, that Rabbi Yochin had charata, I'll tell you why. It's because he found now a Mishnah that had been said over in Kerem B'Yavne, that proved to him that he was wrong in assuming it was a dat Yochin. It's mimatnita the karma hadarbe at charata because of the Mishnah in Kerem, the Brayta in Kerem. The Tanya, Om Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Shamati mipicha chomim beKerem biYavne. What I heard, says the Brayta, goes on the Brayta, by Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What I heard in Kerem biYavne is that Kulan, all of the women above, in other words, all of the ones that couldn't possibly be pregnant. Okay, so obviously the Tanakama here is a Das Rabim. They said it over in Kerem B'Yavne. There's a Psak Halacha. In which case, we would certainly paskin like that and not like Rabbi Yossi. That must be why Rabbi Yochanan had Charata, from what you're saying is true. Omer le Rabbi Yirmeh, Rabbi Zeika, ki ayalta lekameh de Rabbi Avo. When you get a chance, says Rabbi Yirmeh to Rabbi Zeika, and you end up now visiting Rabbi Avo, Romele, I want you to do me a favor. Ask him and me, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yossi. Point out a contradiction. How could Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yossi if Omer Rabbi Yochanan like a Gestam Mishnah? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan paskin like a Gestam Mishnah? Tanan in our Mishnah, it says, Kol anashim lo yinasu v'lo yitasu arshi yulam shosha chodashim achat betulot v'achat v'ulot. And this is Gestam Mishnah without making any distinction between them. Said Rabbi Zrika to Rabbi Yirmiyah, oh my God, it's a pretty ridiculous question. I'm going to make a fool of myself to go ask this question. But the Ramalacha, whoever asked you this question, lo chash lekimche, he doesn't pay any attention to the flour that he's grinding. In other words, he's not getting the details out of the grains over here of the Torah. So, isn't it a stam v'chakach machloket? I mean, it immediately says that the din is with the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So I said, why would he paskin like a stam? In halacha, kestam, the Amr of Papa, the Tamer of Rabbi Yochanan, machloket v'charkak stam halacha kestam. If you start off with the machloket and then you find the stam mishnah, fine. But stam v'acharkak machloket ein halacha kestam. So because Rabbi Hakadosh first brought the stam, as if that would be what we would rely on, and now suddenly he tells us, but not so posh, that's not to be relied on. So apparently he's telling us not to paskin. Or else he had charada from paskining, according to that original stam, and now adds in the machloket. And therefore, I will not make a fool of myself of asking such a silly question when I get there. I can tell you right now. Okay. The question is whether this how to measure a stam achakach machloket. Is it the same asechta? Is it the same seder? And so, Rashi says if it's a different seder, then we don't send us. The Gemara discusses in a number of places that issue. Okay, now, continuing this, once we already got onto this issue of Stamach HaKach Machloket, so we get into more of that issue. Stamach was a Rabbi Avu, a Katvid Rabbi Nachum Shamay. Rabbi Avu was leaning on Rabbi Nachum, who was his Meshamish, and they were walking along. Rabbi Avu was old, and Rabbi Nachum was man kivazil chetamina. He was trying his best to collect every piece of pieces of halachas, piske halachas, about things with the machlokas. He wanted to hear from Rabbi Avu how it is that he paskin in these specifics. So continues the Gemara. What are the things that he asked him? So boy, I mean, he has one thing he asked him once: machloket v'chakar stamai. How do we paskin in a case where first the Mishnah presents a machloket and then it sows him the halacha? How do we paskin? Oh, ma'alei halacha kistam. The reason that Rebbe put it in the end is because he wants us to realize that the halacha is like the stam. Okay, how about the stam v'chakach machloket, my? Oh, ma'alei ein halacha kistam. How about stam ha'matznisin? U'machloket v'braita, my? How about if the braita, that it usually is expansion, the Mishnah, has the machloket, but the Mishnah is listed stam. Or marlei halacha kestam. The reason that Rebbe did not list the machlokas in the Mishnah was bedafka, was because he wanted you to know that this is the psak. The braita expands and tells you that there's other shitas, but that doesn't mean we have to worry about them. Machloket b'matnitin v'stama braita, am I? How about the other way around? The Mishnah brings a machloket, and the braita only brings one shita. So is that considered to be basically a later psak? Omar le, v'chi Rebbe lo shan'a. So Rebbe Chia minayin lo. Rebbe didn't put it into the Mishnah. He was the Mesadar Mishnayas, and he didn't want to be Seisim, the Mishnah. So where would Rebbe Chia, who was his Talmud, where would he get the idea that halacha kamoso to go ahead and to put it into a brisa? If he wants to say his own opinions, fine, but then not to be koveyed as part of the Seder abraitet. Omar Lay, so he asked him that's not if you're telling me that the halacha is like the Stam Mishnah in that case, but it's not. Masrek shel pishtan, shenitlu shinav. You have over here a type of comb that's used for combing out flax, and the teeth have been broken, but nishtayru bo shtayim. Two of the teeth of the comb are still usable, so that you can at least pull between them the pishtan. Obviously, it's going to be a heck of a lot of work to try to comb out your pishtan in that fashion, but it's usable still. So these are wooden combs and so on. And even if it would be not directly one next to the other, it's still, in some sense, useful. Because even if they're far apart, when you pull it through, it begins now to separate the flax. The flax is extremely entangled. So the mela, whatever you do, is considered to be royal malacha. So the din is over there. If there's two, so then it's tahar, because there's nothing that you can. Okay, so when it comes to pishtan, if you have When it comes to Pishtan, if you have now two, so that it's still useful, it's considered to be Tame. But if there's only one left, obviously there's nothing much that you can do with one tooth in the comb. So then it's Tame. V'chulam shenitlu achat achat b'fnei atzman. Now each one of these teeth, which are wooden pegs basically, as the comb was made, and that they're taken out one by one, each one of them has a shem kli, because you can use that peg is also used, because it doesn't have a body of the comb, it's also used for cleaning out in there. So it becomes like a probe. So it's very useful for cleaning. So the shem itself would be tameh. But in the comb, if you have only one, it's not tameh. How about shal tzemer? If you have a comb of tzemer shenitlushin of achat b'minatayim, that out of every three, there's one missing. In other words, you have every other tooth, and therefore you have too wide of a gap. For wool, that's useless. The wool is not like the pishtan, not like the linen that has to be separated even at a distance. The wool, the whole point of the combing, is to have adjacent parts of the wool straightened. And therefore, there by wool it's tar. Nishtayru bo shalosh b'makom echad. If you have three teeth in one place, so then it's still usable in that area. And then it's tame. Haita achitzona achat mehem. And if the outside piece of the comb, is always thicker than the teeth in the middle, just as it is today. So if one of the three is the outside comb, then it's tahar. Because the outside piece is not really suitable because of its thickness for combing. How about if nitlu shtayim? How about if you took out two of the teeth? V'asa'an l'malket. You put them, you use those now, those two teeth. You made them now like a tweezer kind of thing. And you're using them as a pincher kind of device. So then they are, in fact, tameot. It becomes a type of a tweezer, a type of plier. And you do that in order to pick out various hairs. So it's still useful in a comb-like fashion. It's part of the grooming issue. So then those become now, this is a good shimush, it's considered to be a cleaner, it's tame. Achas, even if you took out one and you set it up to use for cleaning out a lamp, or to use it for mituach, which is a peg to hold skins in place where you're spreading them. Mituach means to stretch. You're stretching the skins. Then it's tmeya. Okay, now that is a stam mishnah. The kaimelon, the ein halacha, we end up saying that the halacha is not like that stam mishnah. Okay? So I thought you said that the rule is that we always pass it like a stam mishnah. Amalei bar minei dahi. Rabbi Avu told him, forget about that. That mission is not included in my discussion. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlomo, Shtam Ritarvayu. Eina Mishnah. Mizel Eina Mishnah. This Mishnah is not considered to be a Mishnah, and it's got problems. My timer, what's wrong with this Mishnah? They should be so sure Eina Mishnah. Om Ravunim Bar Manoch, Mishmed Ravidi, Bered Ravika. Mishum Dekash, Rishon LaSeifa. The Mishnah is contradictory, Mineu Bey, and therefore it cannot be a well-structured mission. Where is it contradictory? Niktani. The first part of the mission said that when a masrik shall tzemer shenitlu shinav achat mibinatayim tahor. That if you take out every other tooth, it's not useful, right? Okay. Mashmo in nishtayru shtayim b'makom echad. That if you would have had two in one place, it's saying only if you took out every other tooth. But suppose you would have had two in one place, it's very clear, then it would be tameh. And then it goes right in and it says, but if there were three teeth that were left in one place, then it's tummy. So in other words, dafke shlosha in b'shtayim lo. So the Mishnah that contradicts itself, it cannot be a good Mishnah to rely on. Well, that's a contradiction. I can't even say what the problem is. Dilma, why can't we talk about two separate situations? The case that we're talking about, in the Reisha, where we're saying that at the mashma'ut of the Mishnah was that it would be tummy for b'shtayim, that is referring to the gaviata. That's referring to the area, the inner part of the comb, which grabs the wool. So over there, even with two teeth, it's roy for grabbing, and then subsequently it's pulled taut and thin. The Sefer is talking about Bevariyata, in the outside row, where over there it actually does the combing itself, where it needs to be thin, close together, and so on. There you need three. I mean, well, why is that a problem in the Mishnah? Ella, okay, you're right. There's another reason for being doch in the Mishnah. Diktani v'chulon shenitu achat achat b'fnei atzman tmeot. It says if they were taken out one by one, then they're tamei, which is mashma over there, afa gavda lo hitkina. You took it out, it's a peg, it's roi. What's it roi for? Undoubtedly for a ner, right? I mean, that's what you would use it for a probe of some kind. But and then in the sefer it says that if there is achas, there's one tooth left, the hitkina in there, only if you're metaken it. So then you're being gomer a new kli. Or you made it for nituach. Then it's tmei adavki itkina in lo itkina lo. So that's a steer to the ratio that says stam a peg in a comb is omed to be used as a pin or something similar. Amar Abaya, I don't get it. Well, that's a problem. Dilma, maybe this is referring to two separate situations. Oh, the case in the ratio where it's mashmah even without tikkun it's considered to be tamei is talking about where it was taken out of the comb together with bikatayu, together with the thick piece that holds it in place in the comb, which therefore gives it away to be held in your hand and to be manipulated, because you have that little piece, and therefore it would be tamei. Mashenkin is safer that says you have to fix it up. It's talking about where only all you have is a sharp piece. You have nothing to hold it with. You need to fix it to make it usable. That's below katayu, and therefore you need to do something to smooth out the part that you're going to hold with your fingers. That's not a reason to reject the Mishnah. Rav Papa has his own. Rav Papa says, I don't get it. This is a problem to reject the Mishnah. My Kusha, what's the problem? Dilma ha bekatnita. Maybe one is talking about in the sefer that you need tikkun kli. It's talking about one of the very thin shinayim, the thin pins in the comb, where over there it's difficult to handle without a handle on it, and therefore it's not considered to be a kli without tikkun. V'hob ha'shenken ereshet, it's referring to using it even without tikkun. It's talking about balimta. It's talking about a thicker one that doesn't require any type of handle to handle it with. So therefore it's even without tikkun. So then that can't be the reason that he was doch in the Mishnah. So what is the reason that they were doch in the Mishnah? Ella, the real reason that we can't rely on this Mishnah to say that it's a Stam Mishnah, and why is it that the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that this is not a Mishnah you can paskin like, is another reason. It's Bishum de Mesaime Dafkani. People who are Dafka, people who are very medactic in the Lashon, and they are very careful not to get things messed up. So they have the correct Girsa. They end the Mishnah with the words Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So obviously that means that it's not a Stam Mishnah. And at this point it becomes a Machlokas, and therefore why should we pass him like it? It's only a Das Yachid.